Welcome to the Small Caps Podcast, where we discuss news and information related to ASX-listed companies and financial markets, keeping investors informed. Note that the content in this podcast is not financial or investment advice, and be sure to head over to smallcaps.com.au to get the latest market news. Now, without further delay, here's today's podcast.
Welcome back to Small Caps. My name is Kerry Stevenson. Resource Base. Now, some of you will remember back in May, I spoke to Shannon Green about Resource Base and what they were doing as a newly listed company and how they'd restructured it and the growth of the company. Well, today that growth is really taking shape, and I'm joined with the newly announced Executive Chairman and CEO, Shannon Green. Shannon, great to see you. Congratulations on taking on more responsibility and getting even more busier.
Thanks, Kerry. Look, it's great to be here. Thanks for taking the time. And really looking forward to, full-time, growing Resource Base.
Yeah, and you, one of the things I do, and I think I mentioned the last time, I called you Shannon the Builder Green, because you are really, really focused on growth of the company and value for shareholders, which is what I liked. And today, before we get stuck into the latest acquisition, which is a rare earth project, just give our listeners, for those that didn't see us back in May, who are Resource Base and what you're doing.
Yeah, look, I mean, Resource Base historically had a small-scale gold operation in New South Wales. It'd been on long-term care and maintenance. I was brought into Resource Base June 2020, signed on literally 1st of June 2020 to exec chair the board and, see if we could, see what we can do with the company. Been long-term suspension, was about to be delisted. There'd been a number of trials of trying to pivot with the gold asset in New South Wales that had not been successful. And it really needed a different set of eyes and a fresh approach. And so we appointed a new board, and, a couple of months ago, we came back onto the ASX with our new principal asset being the Black Range copper VMS project in the Staveley Arc in Victoria. Fantastic project. 5.5 million in the tin and a new, supportive shareholder base. And, following all of that, and here we are now, having just announced doing a rare earths deal on five ELAs, so applications for tenements in South Australia and Victoria, surrounding Australian rare earths, AR3. They've got themselves a ionic clay project in that region. That shows that the region, the Murray Basin is really prospective for ionic clay rare earth.
Okay, so just to summarise that, you've got the Black Range copper gold project. Navarre, I think, are a substantial holder that project.
Yep, and Navarre were the owner of the Black Range project. Yep. And we did an all-scrip transaction with Navarre to take that project.
Okay, so before we go into your new acquisition, which is the Mitre Hill Rare Earth project, let's just see where you're at with Black Range, what you've been doing, what the news is with that, and then we'll dig into the rare earth project.
Yeah, sure. Well, I mean, from day one, we've had the pedal on the metal. Building a company, hence part of, my announcement or the company's announcement today for my appointment to take the full-time executive and board role. We very recently appointed Ian Cameron as our exploration manager. He's based in Victoria, knows the Staveley region extremely well. He's been a fantastic find. He's joined the company and, he's up and running. So we just, in those early stages, there's a lot of, administrative in terms of all of the transfers and all of the things. There's a lot that goes on behind the scenes that a lot of people wouldn't be aware of. So we've been, churning through that, but at the same time, really getting our feet under the desk on the project, planning our large-scale geophysics program and planning our drilling program, securing drill rigs, those types of things. So there's a lot of work gone into that. And, you know, we're about to commence that geophysics program on site, and hot off the heels of that, we'll be rolling in a drill rig to kick off drilling. So things are really moving ahead full steam.
Did you get a lot of data when you bought that acquisition into resource base from Navarre? Did that give you a bit of a head start? And
oh, look, absolutely. You know, part of the benefit of it was you know, the level of data that we acquired as part of the transaction, which gave us a really good orientation to particularly one specific project area, the Eclipse area that we've spoken about quite a bit in the media. It's given us some orientation around that. What it also did is allowed us to sort of really step back and say, well, okay, let's take a bigger look at this and what do we really think. So we've got some orientation, we've got some good data, but it's also helped us really say, well, okay, what do we actually think is going on here and how are we going to move forward now with the existing data we have, and how do we, you know, where do we go from there with our new data, and what are the pieces of the puzzle as we start to move forward?
Well, as an investor, and most investors would be keen on this to know, why did Navarre want to give it up? What was it that Navarre thought, well, okay, we're going to focus somewhere else and this is good for resource base to have? And as an investor, I'm thinking, okay, well, what's good about Black Range? What do you see? Where's the value as an investor in resource base? What's the value of the Black Range copper gold project?
Yeah, look, I mean, that's a really good point. And, you know, a lot of people ask that, particularly at IPO. Look, the project had sat with Navarre for many years. Navarre, you know, through that had acquired other projects and so forth. And, you know, like all companies, they were going through changes themselves. And, you know, they really took a position that they wanted to just be a pure gold play focus. And therefore, you know, a VMS copper gold project didn't fit squarely in that direction. And they felt that they could, you know, generate a better return for their shareholders by doing the style of transaction that they did with us. And remembering that, you know, Resource Base have taken, you know, an all scrip deal and a board seat in Resource Base. So they weren't just, right, you know, exiting stage left, you know, see you later.
They've still got a handle on it. And I think Paul Hissey has joined the resource from
absolutely
Navarre.
Paul Hissey, Navarre's chief financial officer, has joined our board. And, you know, so they've really followed the project and they want to ensure that their shareholders get the value out of that, you know, divestment through their shareholding in Resource Base. So for us, it was a win-win. We were getting the data, we were getting, you know, they were following their project. And we saw opportunity in terms of the work that had been done previously and what we thought about what's going on geologically and what may have been missed in the past, and how we're going to address that moving forward. And our initial geophysical program is all about trying to fill some of those gaps about what we think was missed previously.
So the geophysics program, and then you also mentioned getting a drill rig on site. What's your timing? What's your news flow on that?
Later this year. So the timing on the geophysics program is imminent. I can use that word. So that is imminent. And we'll be putting out an announcement on that, you know, very soon to let people know. And in terms of a drill rig, we've got our foot on a drill rig. I can say that we've got our foot on a drill rig, and it's really about the timing of completing the geophysics program and crunching the data to make sure we get our initial targeting right. Yep. And then we'll be rolling the drill rig into site. But in terms of all of the, you know, pieces of the puzzle that have to happen to enable that to happen, they've been happening in parallel. So we're in a really, really good position, and it's full steam ahead on the Black Range project.
Which is great to see. But when I last spoke to you, you also said, Shannon Green, you are all about growth. And this week you've announced that you've taken control of the Mitre Hill Rare Earth Project in South Australia. That's kind of lit a bit of a fire, not only just under the share price, but also interest in the market. Tell us about, first of all, how you came across it, and why you like it?
Yeah, look, it's, as we've said, you know, through our IPO, in our prospectus, we were very clear that we're about growing resource base into a much larger, highly valued mineral house. That's our stated claim and our stated aim. And, you know, I promised people from the beginning that I'd work tirelessly to do that. And I think people will be surprised that we've moved this quick. You know, that's you know, I said that's what we're going to do. This project came onto our radar through our network. You know, we've got a network of people, Candor Advisory introduced us to the Mitre Hill vendors, and it really went from there. And you know, we weren't the only company having a look at the project. They did have a lot of interest. Rare earths there's a lot of excitement about rare earths globally for different reasons, and it's become quite a hot sector and a sector that's well sought after. And
I just want to interrupt you on that. Why has it become such a hot sector and why such interest? Is that the electric vehicles that need rare earths? Where do you see that sector going? And because that's what's driven you towards this project, I guess.
Yeah, look, it's definitely, you know, we had a stated aim that we want to try and stay in the EV space. We see copper as playing a significant role in that, you know, and there are other minerals, and rare earths is certainly a big piece of that. And that's really becoming strategic to every government globally, particularly Europe, Australia, the US. One of the big worries is a significant amount, I think it's around 80% gets quoted, of rare earths, you know, is in China. And therefore sort of controlled, if you like. So, you know, the world is starting to realise that if you want to have a position in the EV space, then you need to control, you know, some of the commodities, and rare earths is definitely one of those where you need to be able to secure your production source. So, it's getting a lot of attention. This project was even more attractive to us because it's the ionic clay, not the hard rock rare earths. The ionic clay rare earths are more sought after because they are, I guess, in very generic terms, typically cheaper to access, less complex to process than the hard rocks. So ionic clays are more sought after even than the hard rocks. You know, putting all of those pieces of the puzzle together, you know, we were strongly attracted to the project. It's in Victoria and into South Australia. So it's, you know, it's in our wheelhouse in terms of the commodity. It's in our region.
So is it one long structure? So is it crossing the border between Victoria and South Australia?
Certainly the tenements do. Not all joined together, you know, because it's obviously, you know, if you look at a tenement map, it looks like a patchwork quilt, you know, in any state. That's just how tenements are. But we've been Mitre Hill were very clever to secure the ground sitting around Australia. And rare earths and the yellowtail, red tail, which have quoted JORC compliant ionic clay, total rare earth, you know, resources in that region. So, you know, it's very much, you know, the excitement of that. There's a lot of prospectivity in the Murray Basin, has been for some time around, you know, both rare earths and mineral sands. So, yeah, it was a very, very, you know, sensible strategy, and you know, hence why we've been able to.
So there's five exploration licenses within the Murray Basin, as you say, in Victoria and South Australia. How much work has been done on it, and where are you taking up from there? What's your plans?
Yeah, look, I mean, there's been historic work through that whole region. And so, you know, our independent expert geologist that's done the independent expert report was able to look at, you know, historical work. But there's no, you know, if you look at those tenements, there's no major drilling programs and so forth. There's a lot of regional scale work, et cetera, et cetera. It's just when you look on the maps and you look at the geology, it's very similar geology to Australian rare earths. Some of it, you know, is, I guess, what you would typically say should be contiguous, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So that's the excitement for us. Our first, you know, first cab off the rank for our geological program is to really delve into all of that existing data, pull it into a modern database, et cetera, do those works, and then get out on the ground, mapping, sampling, and, you know, following up very, very quickly with drilling. Drilling, because, it, you know, this is very well, you know, basically on surface. So initially we'll be looking at auger drilling. So okay. Auger drilling is to move pretty quick with that. And then as we move, you know, as we start to orientate ourselves, where we start to see, you know, if we start to see the type of geology we want to see, then we'll move in with, you know, more refined drilling techniques to get better, cleaner samples and so forth. So we've got a full program lined up, hence why we've raised 1.2 million to undertake that initial work.
Okay, because I was going to ask you about the terms of the acquisition. Again, from an investor point of view, how have you gone about the acquisition? What are the terms and how's the structure changing?
Sure. So it's an all script deal. With the proviso, you know, there's a small amount of cash refundable up to a maximum of 50K for money having been spent previously to secure the tenements and so forth. But other than that, it's an all script deal. And that rolls out as the tenements are granted. So the shares are allocated, but they stay in escrow until each tenement is granted. Therefore, our shareholders are protected from the risk of, you know, something, you know, not going the right way in terms of the granting. Mitre Hill, the company, are the only company that have that are in the running for the tenements at this stage, based on our due diligence checks as we were doing the transaction. That was the only the applicant for those five tenements. So we're very, very, you know, very comfortable with that. But by the same token, our shareholders don't have to see any, you know, shares change hands until each tenement rolls out. So we've been able to cover that risk. And by the same token, as each tenement rolls out, we're able to get going straight away with work. The vendor was very keen to ensure that they saw us raise some money so that we were, you know, able to, you know, go out there and do the work, because they have performance milestones based on drilling and results and so forth. And they're very keen to see those, you know, see those come to fruition. And the only way that can happen is for Resource Base to do what it's promised, which is get out on the ground and do all the geological work and drill and so forth as quickly as we can. And that's what we'll be doing. So we've raised an initial 1.2 to get going, and right, then from there to see how those programs go. That also ensures that the money that we've raised under our prospectus for Black Range is not in any way being diverted or eroded. That money, as we've raised it under the prospectus, is going into the Black Range project and part of obviously running, you know, running the company. And all the normal things that go with that. But we're bringing in this new money, or we've brought in this new money to ensure that literally on day one, as the first tenement drops, we're out on the ground.
Okay, so are the vendors, are they, will they still have some ownership, the former owners of the Mitre Hill project?
It's an all script deal. So they've taken script in Resource Base. Yep. On a cascading basis as those five tenements roll out. And then, you know, their deeper connection is then the performance milestone. So there's no...
I'm being a bit dumb here, Shannon, but why, when you say as the tenements roll out, why isn't it just purely, you know, they roll into Resource Base all at once? Is there a...
Because they're applications.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah, they're not granted tenements as of yet. So the Mitre Hill company put in the applications, and then, you know, things really start to get hot in the rare earth base. So, you know, they wanted to, you know, get something happening sooner rather than later. So obviously it makes the deal structure a little bit more complicated. You know, we were certainly, as a company, not going to take, you know, wear all of the risk of those tenement applications, which is why we've structured it in a cascading way, so that, you know, our shareholders, you know, you know, have that protection.
And it mitigates the risk so that if they're not approved for whatever reason, you're protected in that way.
No, look, that's exactly right. And okay. And I think, you know, we don't see that as being a likely outcome. You know, these are both South Australia and Victoria, very good jurisdictions. It's just process. It's an administrative process that takes time. And the only thing you can't do is pin the time. You know, it'll take the time that it takes.
That it takes, absolutely. Shannon, with this acquisition and with Black Range, and your stated commentary in the beginning when I spoke about before and today, you're all about growth. Are you continuing to look for opportunities to expand resource base as a mineral commodities company? And are you just focused on EV? What's your strategy going forward?
Look, our strategy is, you know, if you talk about, you know, and we've always got to be careful with the strategy not to be so rigid that you miss a really good opportunity.
Yeah, true.
But we have, obviously, our strategy is Australian jurisdiction, and we'd like to stay in the EV and the gold space. I mean, you know, gold is solid. It's a solid performer year in, year out. You know, it's had a little bit of a down period at the moment, but you know, it's a solid, and we like gold. So, you know, the EV gold space is our wheelhouse, if you like. So, and that includes, you know, nickel, and includes copper, you know, the rare earths, you know, all those types of minerals. You know, we're always looking at projects for those.
Well, as I said at the beginning, I called you Shannon the Builder. You are building, you're growing, you're making sure that you're giving value to shareholders. I love to finish up like this, Shannon. Give our investors, our listeners out there, three reasons why you think now is a really good time to sit up and look at RBX.
Yeah, look, absolutely. I mean, we've got our Black Range project. We're just about to hit the ground with a major, you know, geophysics program following straight up with, you know, drilling. So that's, you know, very exciting, you know, front end of that project. We're very, very well capitalized, very well supported. We've proven that, you know, we had a stated aim to grow this company with quality projects. I think we've just proven that with this transaction.
Well, I think that was four, but that's okay. We'll take that, Shannon.
You can edit one out.
It's all good. Well, I think you're doing a great job. Congratulations on becoming the exec chairman and CEO. Just means that you're going to be busier than ever. Ladies and gentlemen, Shannon always says, one of the things about him is he is very open. If you're a shareholder or even not a shareholder, please reach out and contact with him. He's there to answer any questions you've got. And that's what I like about management like this, that they are there for the shareholders and answering questions. Final comment to you, Shannon, before we finish up.
Yeah, look, thank you very much, Kerry. And you know, hit the nail on the head. And please, anybody that's thinking about, you know, investing in RBX or is currently a holder in RBX, you know, don't be afraid. Pick up the phone. We're always here to talk. We're as, you know, as transparent as we possibly, you know, can be. And I always like, you know, I love building relationships with our shareholder base. So please, you know, keep in touch and rest assured we won't be sitting still, and you'll be hearing more from us very soon.
There you go. He keeps on building. Ladies and gentlemen, Shannon Green, CEO and Exec Chairman, thank you so much for joining me on Small Caps today.
Thanks, Kerry. Great to be here.